Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's show is brought to you by Social Joey and Intrepid Direct. Joining me once again is Angela Cote. Hey, Angela, what's going on?
Happy to be back, Jack. How are you?
I am doing well. I want to catch up with you on where you've been across the globe recently. Where have you been for the past few weeks?
I don't even know. I've been all over. I'm kidding. So about 4 weeks ago, I was in Mexico hanging around with the monkeys on my balcony. If anybody follows me on social media.
We saw that. Yeah.
yeah. So I had the opportunity, which was amazing, to go down there and speak at a franchisor conference and run one of my innovation storms where we bring the franchisees together, and they just love the opportunity to be together and, you know, to learn from each other. So I facilitate a session that brings out some really exciting marketing opportunities and gets them really growing their own business and taking ownership of growing their business and their local community. So that was a treat. The week after that, I was in Vancouver at the Canadian Franchise Association trade show, where there were, you know, franchisors exhibiting and prospective franchisees walking around and checking out the opportunities there. I had the opportunity there to present on how to franchise your business and the five rock star questions you should ask when thinking about joining a franchise if you're a prospective franchisee. And then a week after that, I found myself in Montreal at the Fix Network World Conference for master franchisees. And it was a group of global master franchisees, just, you know, from all over the world, Mexico, Spain, Ireland, Australia, all there. And the topic was, you know, how to improve your lead generation and franchise recruitment, finding franchisees in all these different countries. So it's been a bit of a whirlwind lately. Been amazing. I'm super blessed to get these great opportunities and learn so much from all these people that I get to be inspired by as well.
Do you find that we're going to get into the DNA of a franchisee in a few minutes, but do you find that franchisees have a lot of the same traits in all of these different places where you're speaking with groups, whether it's in Mexico or Canada or the United States or way out in your part of Canada, which is on the other side of the globe sometimes, it feels like. Yeah, right. But there are some things that really have a common thread, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, I think more than anything, what my message would be on this is that what I've seen and, you know, really lived and breathed with my upbringing in the family business, where we grew to almost 500 franchises across Canada, that there are, you know, there are certain traits that a franchisee should have. So that's, you know, it's regardless of the brand, whether it's a mobile service thing or, you know, bricks and mortar, retail, quick service, whatever it is. I think that's really where we're going today, is that I've uncovered that there are certain traits that are really like the key success factors for a franchisee.
Okay, let's grind through them. Where do we start? What's sort of the first piece of the puzzle?
Yeah, so I've got 10. So we'll go through them and we'll keep it moving here. But, you know, back in the day when I worked for the family business, I was the, you know, you've probably heard me say this before, the female boss's daughter. I would show up, you know, 20 years old. I would show up to teach these older male franchisees how to run their business. Got put through the ringer, you know, learned a lot about what doesn't work when it comes to franchise relations, but had to learn how to kind of, you know, get credibility and buy-in from them. But in those days, one of the biggest challenges I saw was when franchisees were undercapitalized. So if you could flip that around, I guess, you know, the DNA of a franchisee is to really be financially prepared. What I saw a lot of the times was that they had the initial investment, but they didn't have the working capital to live, you know, through that first 6 months or whatever it might be, or a year till they broke even and then started making money. And I had older, you know, male business guys, franchisees, like yelling at me or crying or whatever when it was time to put another $30,000 order in for inventory. And they were like, I don't have it, you know? And I was like, well, you can't run your business. So it sounds obvious, but I really think that, you know, franchisors are so excited to get that franchisee signed on that they sometimes overlook, that they just don't have the capital. So that'd be the number one thing.
Yeah, they're financially prepared for the franchisor's needs, but they're not financially prepared for their own needs going forward throughout the year, cost of living and, you know, insurance and all of that kind of thing.
Or unexpected marketing that they need to do because the market's not taking off as quickly or something. I think there's, you know, there's just so many, you have to have like a contingency.
All of our marketing friends are going to love you for saying that. You've got to have a little extra money set aside, ready for some marketing when we need
to. Yeah, think of getting a page for that or something.
Okay, so I love that you're starting there, because if you're not financially prepared, it really doesn't make sense for you to keep moving forward in investing in this business. So let's say we're financially prepared, check. We've got that box ticked, and we're going to move on to sort of the next thing that we need to be.
Yeah. So I think this might sound obvious, but I don't think people realize to the extent that it impacts them is that they have to be systems oriented. You know, people, you know, they think they're going to be, and they get in there and they start to realize that they're not happy following a system. So number two is really being systems oriented.
And by systems oriented, this kind of brings me back to last week here on Social Geek. I had a great discussion with Paul Husar from VetCor about getting veterans involved in franchising. And I think this is where those folks really shine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I'm sure Paul talked about this, but I haven't listened yet and I will, but I'm sure, you know, the idea of being not just okay with following systems, but thriving in that and valuing how a system can help you be more efficient and productive and profitable. And yeah, really just seeing the value in it, I guess. So veterans are awesome. I think, you know, it's really helpful too in the franchise recruitment process to ask for examples in the past. When did you, you know, have to follow a system and really try to uncover, you know, behavioral traits that might help you find a red flag if they're not going to be following the system. We always at M&M, we always said, you know, watch for things like if they start saying, well, do we have to follow those hours, or do we have to like wear the uniform? Do we have to wrap the car? If they're getting a lot of that, that's a sign they maybe aren't systems oriented.
Do we have to use that logo? Can I make a new one?
Yeah, I think you. Exactly.
Okay, what's next after we've got systems down?
Yeah, well, this is going to sound a little bit on the flip side, but, you know, having a touch of entrepreneurialism is actually important as well. And so I know that sounds a little bit like I just, debated my own self or whatever, but, you know, having some entrepreneurialism in terms of, you know, problem solving in the business. So you've probably heard that the Big Mac was an idea that came from a franchisee on the front line.
Yes.
So having some entrepreneurialism in the blood is cool, as long as it's, you know, tempered and they understand that, okay, if you have an idea, you know, it needs to be approved. It needs to go into the system and be approved. And the further along a franchisor is, the less entrepreneurialism you'll need. So I'm sure, you know, it's people, you know, anybody that's a little more experienced in franchising knows that an early franchisee can be a little bit more entrepreneurial because they're kind of helping shape the brand versus, you know, if you come in and there's 300 units, things have been figured out.
Yeah.
They've tried a lot of different things. So it's more about entrepreneurialism on the problem solving level, or maybe how you're going to grow your business in your local community.
You know, something that I just heard you say really makes sense, and I don't hear enough people in franchising talk about this, that it's a touch of entrepreneurialism. It isn't, you know, being a total, you know, I want to go out there and create the next big thing. It's a touch of that, right? Because you're not an employee, you're not a corporate, you know, cog in a machine. You are a business owner, so you've got to have a little touch of that and a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a risk reward out there for you, right? But I like how you put that. And I think there are also not enough people in franchising that see a difference between an emerging brand and somebody who's got 300 franchisees already, that one that has 300 franchisees already, that's pretty much ready made, and it's, you know, doesn't need you to really get too far outside of the box, right?
Yeah, you don't have to do quite as much thinking on how you're going to do things, because there's all these people around you that you can go to and say, like, you know, what's the best way to do this, as opposed to trying to figure it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
That entrepreneurialism is such an interesting one, because there's such a fine line, right? From, you know, people that want to do their own thing. I think if they understand the systems and you've got that check marked, then that little bit of entrepreneurialism, you know, that's a good thing. So, yeah.
Okay. We've got all of those checked now. What's next on the list?
Yeah. So, I always say, you know, they've got to have passion and loyalty for the brand. You know, I go to these franchise shows, right? And you see these people walking around, these franchise, you know, kind of leads or you know, prospects looking at the different options. And, you know, and they're like, well, how much money can I make? How much money can I make? And it's like, it's not just a formula, because, well, there is a formula, but if you aren't passionate about it, you're not going to work hard, and then you're not going to make as much money and be as successful, right? So it's got to be something that you're going to wake up every day excited to do. And the minute mm-hmm. you're not excited, it's time to move on. And I've experienced that, you know, having been a franchisee multi-unit for 18 years, that you have to know when it's time to move on. So you have to start with loyalty and passion.
Excellent. Okay. I think I've got that. Check. What's next?
Okay. That's pretty clear. a franchisee has to have patience, especially in a further, more developed franchise company.
Okay. Tell me more about this, because I think I just found a box that's not going to get checked for me. So,
okay. Well, so far, you mean you would make a good franchisee?
Yeah. So far I'm okay. Good until we get the patience. And I've had some people tell me that that's not, not one of my best things. So tell me more about it.
Okay. Well, you know, things move much slower in a franchise system, because decisions affect so many other business operators, right? There's all these other people that it affects. People that have invested their life savings into the brand. So you can't just make changes without testing things first and getting buy-in first, right? So when, you know, a brand thinks, you know, we need to innovate and you know, get some new software, or we need to change our logo or do a rebrand or whatever, all these things, you know, we got to get the buy-in first. We got to have meetings with the franchisees and really, really get that figured out. So, you know, I think you can generally assess a person's level of patience as you're going through things with them, and really look for, like, are they expecting, you know, quick responses, and, like, you know, just really looking at their expectations in the recruitment process.
Okay. All right. I'll work on that one. Let's
okay. Well, then maybe you're just not qualified. Let's write you off right now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. They just qualified me out, folks. Okay. But yeah. Let's say we're past that, and now we move on to the next trait. What do we have?
Okay. So, leadership skills. I see this missed so often, because when you look for, this is what I was going to say before. I remember thinking, oh, what was I going to say? With regards to the entrepreneurialism, if they're strictly systems oriented and they don't have a touch of entrepreneurialism and they don't have leadership skills, they're going to be like a robot.
Yeah.
Right. And like, tell me what to do. And it's like, no, you got to take some initiative. So when it comes to, especially a business where there's a base of employees that the franchisee has to manage, they really need to know, you know, have those soft skills and those abilities to motivate and inspire their team to do what they need to do to be successful. So I've seen, you know, a lot of situations where there's an employee of a business and they think, oh, I really like this. This is fun. I want to be a franchisee. Let's, you know, can I become a franchisee of this business? And they go do it, and they were just really good at the thing in the business that they were doing, but not mm-hmm. good at being a leader.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So with this one, you know, I would say to ask the candidate in the recruitment process, when they have been a leader in past career roles or anything they've done in their life, have they ever, like, run an event? Have they been in charge of a department? Have they maybe been an entrepreneur before? You know, if they tell you that they've done some community involvement, oh, you know, tell me more about that.
Yeah.
Oh, so, you know, they were on a board and they were a leader of a committee or something, you know, and oh, okay. So they've been in that role of leading, but then you've got to watch out for that being also a red flag. If they are very headstrong and always rising to the top of the team, they may be too, you know, again, too much of a leader to really fit the role.
Yeah, but somebody who's been a coach, whether it's a sports team or maybe some other type of organization, somebody who's done some coaching, I think that's a good indicator, right? I'll tell you a quick story about the Emerging Franchisor Conference week and a half
ago. That I was very sad to miss.
Yeah, we all missed you. Yeah, the EFC show that IFA did down in Nashville recently. One of the best presentations I saw that whole week was our friend Brian Schnell and Ken Hutchison.
Did he do, wait, did he do a headstand? Is that what he did?
No, not well, not during the show. That was a little bit later in the evening. But okay. Brian did this great presentation with Ken Hutchison from US Lawns, and they were talking about collaborative leadership. So it wasn't, you know, this sort of decision-making from the CEO down to the front line, but in a franchise system, you've got to have, you know, leaders along the way at the franchisee level. And then, you know, that leader working with his team there at the local level. And it was really great. And it really kind of fits in with what you're saying here, that you need to be more of a local leader than if you're in some sort of corporate structure.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so true. And that is such an awesome segue onto the next trait that I want to talk about,
okay,
which is being team oriented. So, you know, being a leader doesn't mean working solo, right? It means it can being on a team. Just, you know, like on a sports team, franchisees often need to accept decisions that are for the greater good of the overall company, right? And as they work together, they're not, as opposed to working in silos, they, you know, the ROI has to be optimized for everybody. So if they're not team oriented, they're not going to be happy. And by the way, you know, I always say directly whenever I'm involved in any opportunity to help with a franchise recruitment with my clients, with these candidates, I say, you know, this isn't about like what's right or wrong. This is about creating a win-win situation so that you are happy and love what you're doing. We don't want you to become a franchisee in 2 years, find out you hate this. You know, that's not going to be good for anybody. So let's talk about what being a team member means and like really think about your experience that you've had in the past of working on a team, whether that was like something in a past work experience or a sports team or, you know, sorority, fraternity, extracurricular activities, volunteer experiences. And then when they're on that team, if they've been on a team, what was their position? You know?
Were they the leader or were they, you know, sort of the follower or the new person? I think overall, something that I kind of feel coming out of here is a team is really a group of people who trust each other. So you've had to have had some situation where you trusted somebody else on your team, and maybe that's going to be your staff or your team on the front line, might be the franchisor. You know, there's got to be some level of trust or you don't have a team.
Yeah, trust and acceptance of sacrifice, like having sacrifices, I guess. Like back in the day when I had my stores, M&M meat shops, and, you know, we had a product line of about 350 frozen food products, you know, quality frozen food. And, you know, we were a national brand, so stretched all the way from, you know, Charlottetown PEI, you know, very East Coast Canada, all the way to my stores in Victoria, British Columbia. And, you know, we sold the same products across the chain. And so, for example, you can imagine for us in Victoria, where, you know, salmon is abundant and you can get salmon, you know, beautiful, wonderful salmon. We had to sell these little, you know, itty bitty pieces of, you know, salmon frozen that were actually brought in from the Atlantic coast. And we had to be a team player and still sell them because it was part of, you know, the brand.
Yeah.
And we actually did sell the product, believe it or not, but, you know, it did move. But, you know, in on the East Coast of Canada, they had to sell these frozen lobster tails. And, you know, you could go buy a full lobster on the side of the street from a little vendor for like probably $5, you know? But being on a team means accepting that it doesn't always make sense directly for you, but it's for the greater good of the brand and the company. We need to protect each other's investment.
Excellent. I love that story. Okay, what do we have next? What's next on the list?
This is a doozy. I should probably put these in order of like, the, you know, coming down to the top one. But this is one of the top things in my opinion. So I'd say like financially prepared is a big one. The leadership is a big one. And here's probably the biggest one besides being financially prepared is being sales oriented.
Yeah.
I would say the number one complaint I hear from my franchisor clients and any franchisors I talk to when I'm at conferences and things is that their franchisees just aren't getting out into the community growing their business. And I think that comes down to the fact that people think that because it's a franchise, business is naturally going to come.
Yeah.
And I have a story about that. I had a client, and I think I might have mentioned this on one of the other podcast interviews we talked about, but I have a client who asked me once, she said, this was like a couple years ago, but she was like, you mean, even though, you know, with my family business, M&M meat shops, it's, you know, everybody in Canada knows it. And, you know, when people see the logo and the sign, they know it. She said, you mean you guys even still have to like do things in the community to bring people in? And I was like, yeah, just because people know the logo, see the sign and love the product, you know, we still have to go out into the community and stay in front of them because there's always competition.
Yeah.
So by sales oriented, whether it's retail or, you know, food or a fitness business or a salon, you know, just getting out there, whether that's social media or going out to events, put, you know, trade, like industry trade shows, sponsoring charities and things, you know, comfortable asking for business from people and building, you know, building on your own network and asking your own network for business, you know, just doing local community initiatives. So that's sales oriented. I just put that really high as a priority if I were a franchisor looking for a franchisee.
I couldn't agree more. If you are the business owner, I don't care how big or small the business is, you are the chief salesperson. And even if you think you can hire salespeople to go out and do that so-called dirty work for you, at some point, it all comes down to you. You are the revenue generator. I don't care how big the business is. And especially if you're just starting off as a franchisee somewhere, and if it's, you know, sort of a smaller system, you're not going to be able to hire some, you know, six-figure salesperson to go out and sell your product every day. So guess what? It's on you. So I love that one. And I love that you have that highlighted so much in your system.
You know, and what I would say that I see so often is that people, and I think now I'm going to get hate mail about from the marketers. For a minute ago, I was going to get like love, and now I'm going to get hate. But, you know, and not, I think it's great to spend money on marketing. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I think that there's a real missed opportunity. You know, most franchise businesses are pretty small business, and in small business, you can't afford a ton of money on marketing. So you need to have a combination, right? You need to have some boots on the ground, go out into your local community and make connections combined with, you know, some kind of marketing spend. So I just see such a missed opportunity and a misconception that I just am going to spend money on advertising and then it's going to drive business. People like people, right? We got to get.
Yeah. They're still going to buy from people. So that's who you have to be. Okay. Next one on the list, Angela.
Yeah. So it's kind of a piggyback off that. And this is the second last one out of the 10. So, trait number nine is to be community oriented. So, by that, I mean, you know, you might look at whether they're already connected to some groups in their community. Like, who do they already know? You know, are they in any, do they do any networking already? You know, but to have that network in your local community is you're starting off, or at least be comfortable with that. Like that's got to be something that gets explored in this franchise recruitment process.
Love that. And it kind of goes along with the sales one, but it also goes along with the brand. You know, there are some brands who have fantastic franchisees who have really become part of that community. So excellent, part of the list there.
Thank you. I'd go to my way to say to like a prospect, you know, or if you're a franchisee, a prospective franchisee listening to this, like being self-aware and doing some introspection on like, who do you know in your community that you may be able to leverage if you become a franchisee of this brand? You know, any media people, politicians, you know, other business owners?
That's a good question, because if they stumble trying to think of somebody, they don't have a very good network and they're really going to have to work hard to fill that void.
Yeah. And it may be that they, or at least that they can come up with someone that they could become networked with, you know, at least that would be the goal for sure.
Yeah. You know, this whole development process that you do is really getting people to think about what they're going to do, because these are all things that they may not have thought of when they said, hey, I want some more information about being a franchisee. So that,
yeah, everybody wins, right? If you check all this out first, everybody can win.
That's an excellent one. Okay, we're down to the wire here.
Okay.
The last trait of the franchisee DNA. What do we have?
This is another one that I see get missed a lot, because you hear this term of, you know, becoming or franchising is turnkey. It's all ready to go. You know, you just walk in and everything's set up for you. And, you know, at the end of the day, even in a franchise, a business owner is typically going to have to work really hard. So the DNA number 10 is grit.
Grit. You know? Love it.
Bit with exclamation marks behind it and in all caps. You know, it's just such a myth that they're going to get in there, and because it's a franchise, it's just going to automatically produce revenue.
Yeah.
I know for us that sounds funny because we've been around, but it is a thing that people unfortunately don't realize. So grit, you know, a good question to uncover this would be like, ask them, how many hours do you envision working, you know, initially, and what in the longer term, what do you envision? How many hours are you going to be work? Do you envision working? If they're like 40 hours a week initially, it's like, there's a pretty good chance, but that's not enough.
Right.
And then like just getting examples of like their current work experiences, you know, find out how much do they work right now? Do they ever work at night? You know, are they comfortable with these kinds of things? Mm-hmm. And get them to talk to other franchisees about the amount of work required to be successful.
Excellent. All right. That's a good place to leave it for now. Grit. Love that. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the show. But first, Intrepid Direct is today's sponsor of Social Geek Radio. Intrepid Direct has comprehensive business insurance designed specifically for franchises. Intrepid Direct is able to bundle all required coverages, including property, liability, hired and non-owned auto, owned auto, work comp, umbrella, and EPL into one monthly payment. Intrepid is a direct provider with A-plus rated coverage no agent or broker can access. Intrepid's licensed franchise experts will review your quote and provide excellent service. You'll save 20% by cutting out the middleman. See why thousands of franchise locations have switched to Intrepid Direct. Get a fast quote now at intrepiddirect.com/socialgeek. Angela, thanks so much for joining me again today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these traits of a great franchisee, what's in their DNA, where can they reach out to you to have a discussion and maybe learn a little bit more?
Yeah, so they can find me on my website. I've actually got a couple of needs assessments they can check out if they want to, that will help them formulate what they're looking for help with if they are, on my website at www.angelacote, that's COTE.com. They can email me and find me on all the social media platforms. And by the way, I don't know if you saw, but I recently was fortunate enough to get on a call with D-Rock, Gary V's right-hand man.
Yo, D-Rock.
D-Rock. Shout out to D-Rock. And so on that note, now I'm getting a little more active on Twitter and even TikTok. I'm checking out TikTok now. So I got to walk the talk. I always tell everybody doing something is better than nothing. So
right.
I'm like, all right, fine. I'm getting on TikTok.
All right, we're going to find you. We're going to find you on TikTok. There you
TikTok,
go.
Yeah.
We so thank funny. D-Rock for that. Yep. Angela, thanks again for joining us today, and we will talk to you very soon.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Jack. It's been amazing.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.